Blog Talk Radio.
On the Blog Talk Radio Network, it's a sunny and beautiful Friday afternoon in our nation's capital. The sun is shining, the lawn is green, and speaking of green, we're talking money today with our special guest on WAMS, author Lauren Weber, who wrote In Cheap We Trust. It's the story of a misunderstood American virtue. That virtue, in fact, is being cheap with a buck. And Lauren Weber joins us live from New York City. And Lauren, I paid for the call today, so you should be okay.
Great. Then I won't have to worry about hanging up early.
Now, you call this book, which, by the way, has just sort of taken the nation by storm, In Cheap We Trust, the story of a misunderstood American virtue. So I take it that your premise then, as I have thumbed through the book, is that it's okay to be cheap.
Yeah, not only okay, it's advisable. I think that's a lesson that probably more and more Americans have learned in the last couple of years when we came to realize that borrowing is not a sustainable way to live. We couldn't have an economy that was built entirely on debt or largely on debt. And I think that early in our history, frugality, thrift, cheapness, whatever you want to call it, the Ben Franklin version was thrift, was widely looked at as a national virtue. It was something that we admired in people. It was something, to some extent, that we aspired to be as a nation. And as we became more and more of a consumer society, the tables kind of turned on that. Spending lavishly became looked upon as a virtue, not only because it, quote, you know, it supposedly supported the economy, which to some extent it does. That's a complicated question, but also that, you know, we came to really admire people who were, you know, hedge fund managers buying 30,000 square foot homes in Greenwich, Connecticut, or people driving Hummers. And whereas the people who were frugal, cautious, that became less of a heroic ideal in America and more of something that we either looked down on or told jokes about. You know, I often talk about how, Donald Duck's miserly uncle, Scrooge McDuck, became,
yes,
you know, kind of a comic figure. And that was in the post-war period when America really flourished as a consumer society.
Well, and you know, Jack Benny in that same time period became, you know, the biggest comedian in America by being a tightwad.
Exactly. There's the very famous skit where a robber sticks him up and says, "Your money or your life?" And Benny stands there thinking about it, and the robber sort of prods him with the gun, and he says, "I'm thinking," you know, because he doesn't know yet which one he wants to give up, his money or his life. So, yeah, it became a joke.
Lauren Weber is our guest today. The book is In Cheap We Trust, the story of a misunderstood American virtue, and you can find out more about the book at laurenweber.com. The Washington Post said In Cheap We Trust was one of the best books of 2009. So that's some pretty heady company you're in there. But you come by this whole topic of frugality somewhat organically. You write about having a really cheap dad.
Yeah, I call him compulsively cheap. My father is an economist by training. He was an economics professor for about 35 years, but more importantly, he's an economizer. When I was growing up in Connecticut, he didn't let us turn the heat above 50 degrees, and as you probably know, it gets cold in Connecticut, so I remember doing my homework with my hats and scarves on. He doesn't like to use the brakes on his car, so he has this system of tapping and thrusting that he thinks is better on the brake pads. He told me that he uses his tea bags about 10 times each.
Wow.
He is really, I know, he takes this basically two extremes. I like to say I learned at the feet of a master. And, you know, I grew up complaining bitterly about my dad and some of his cheap ways. And then when I got older, I started to appreciate some of the lessons that he had taught me, not only, you know, to live within my means, never to be in debt, but also that I came to realize it wasn't just that he was cheap to a fault, or it wasn't that he was cheap to a fault. It was that he really knew what his priorities and values were. And for instance, he may have, you know, if we were in the shower for more than 3 minutes, you know, if my brother or my sister or I were, he'd be knocking on the door saying, "You're wasting water." But on the other hand, the three of us all went to very expensive private universities, and there was never any question that my parents would pay for us to go to the best schools that we could. You know, we also had financial aid, so it was a mix and some loans, but you know, my parents never complained about the high cost of our tuition. So I realized my dad just knew what his priorities were. You know, maybe he was a little nuts about using the water in the house, but, you know, he really valued education. He gives a lot of money to causes that he cares about, political campaigns, that kind of thing. So, you know, it taught me that having a meaningful life was really about knowing what your values are and figuring out how to live them.
The lesson there is to spend, but spend wisely.
Yes, spend on what's important.
And if you'd like to spend money on the book, In Cheap We Trust, I'm sure that's okay too. Lauren Weber is the author, and it's available at bookstores everywhere or laurenweber.com from the gang at Little Brown. And when you write this book, you have to realize, Lauren, that you suddenly are going to go under the cheapskate microscope. So do you practice what you preach in the book?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, in the process of writing the book, I became even cheaper than I was before. I often joke that I, as I said, I used to complain about my father, and then I turned into him. And so I wrote the book partly to redeem cheapness as a national virtue. That's partly why I call it a misunderstood American virtue, is because we've you know, as I said earlier, we've gone from looking at that as a quality we admire in people, frugality and thrift, you know, I sort of use them all interchangeably, to something that we look down on or make fun of people for. And I wanted to redeem cheapness and thrift. But, you know, in the course of writing the book, and anybody out there who's ever lived on a writer's income knows that this is not a lucrative profession. So I became even more frugal than I'd ever been out of necessity. I even started making my own laundry detergent, which it turns out is very easy to do and can be done with very cheap ingredients you can get at any supermarket. But on the other hand, I also don't counsel deprivation and abstinence and total self-denial. You know, I sometimes say that I'll walk 30 blocks to save $2.25 on the subway, but I might be walking in my $350 boots because I really believe in spending money on footwear. You know, and I live in New York City, so I walk a lot. So, you know, having really, really sturdy shoes is important.
Can you amortize those boots over several years?
Exactly, yes. In fact, I've had them for about 5 years. I get them resold every year. I take very good care of them. So, you know, I've had them now for about 5 years. That amortizes to, you know, less than $80 a year, which seems pretty reasonable to me.
Lauren Weber is the author of In Cheap We Trust, and it's available now from Little Brown and bookstores everywhere. You know, I don't want to beat up on the media here because to a certain extent we are both members of the media, Lauren, but when young people see the latest video of the rap star of the moment, you know, with the big gold chain and the dollar bill bling bling necklace and, you know, it's shot on the yacht and they're spilling bottles of champagne over the sides, do you think that has any effect on the young psyche or not so much?
Yeah, you know, I think it goes far beyond rap videos, of course. Like I said, we now heroize the hedge fund manager, or at least we did before the economy collapsed 2 years ago, in part because of hedge fund managers and bankers. But, you know, I think everywhere around us, our culture is saturated with images of luxury, excess, abundance. You know, and I think that has an effect on people, and many scholars have looked into the effect of what they call competitive spending, which is the idea of keeping up with the Joneses, that, you know, this pressure that we live under to have things that are at least as good as our neighbors or our peers, you know, to the point where you start to feel ashamed if you don't have those things. And, you know, I certainly was susceptible to it myself. I remember when I was about 12 or 13 begging my parents to buy me Guess jeans, you know. So despite the way that my parents brought us up, I was vulnerable to those same social pressures that any other kid is. But, you know, I'm grateful that my parents pretty much stuck to their guns on those things. And, you know, I grew up to appreciate, you know, that there were more important things in life than some of those superficial status objects and stuff. Not that I don't enjoy a great pair of jeans, but, you know, now I just find them at thrift stores. You know, I think it is really a challenge to make yourself sort of immune or try to ignore a lot of those messages out there that tell us we need to spend in order to be happy, or we need to spend in order to be as good as our friends. You know, there is a lot of that pressure out there. But some of the little bit of psychological research that's been done on frugality as a psychological trait has shown that frugal people tend to be very independent thinkers. So by nature, they're more immune to those messages than probably most people are.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, there's a new song that's very popular right now at radio called "I Want to Be a Billionaire," and you hear it everywhere. And you just have to wonder how that affects young people. The timeliness of your book strikes me, and I wonder, did you begin writing this book, because there's a long cycle in the book world of getting things released, before or after it all hit the fan?
I started on it long before it, well, you know, a few years. I came up with the idea in 2005 when the economy was still going gangbusters, and started and worked on the proposal in 2006, and actually found an agent and sold it to a publisher in fall of 2007, when there were certainly inklings that the housing market was on the verge of some serious problems. But, you know, this was before Bear Stearns collapsed, before Lehman Brothers fell apart. So, you know, when I first started working on it, I sort of liked the idea that my message was counterintuitive or counter to what was happening in the culture. And when the economy started to tank, I actually felt a little bit scooped by the economy. You know, I sort of, even though, you know, on the one hand, it was great that people were talking about thrift finally, and on the other hand, it sort of took a little bit of the steam out of my excitement about putting out a book that I hoped would be a sort of a cut against the grain of where we were at as a society. On the other hand, you know, like I said, I think it was probably helpful in the sense that this was already on people's minds, already on people's tongues, and so the book became part of a much larger conversation that was already in the process of happening. So that was good.
The book is In Cheap We Trust from Little Brown, and it's the story of a misunderstood American virtue, being cheap or being frugal. But yeah, I think you would have to agree that cheap, there is a bad side, an ugly side to cheapness.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we all have the friend who never pays their fair share of the check when you go out to a restaurant. I should say for the record that I'm a very good tipper because I used to be a waitress. So
had a girl.
Never stiff the waitress. But, you know, and similarly, if you're the kind of person who's so cheap that you can't go to the doctor when you don't feel well, you know, in the end, you're probably cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's not helping anyone. But, you know, by and large, I think that cheapness, thrift have gotten a bad rap. You know, that it's become something that we, like I said earlier, sort of look down on people for, when, in fact, I think that the recent economic problems that we've been having show that we would have done a lot better if more people had been a little more thoughtful about how they spend money, had managed to put away a little bit of a safety net and a cushion. You know, it's when you look at the statistics, it's really alarming how many Americans have no safety net in terms of savings. You know, the typical advice is to have enough money that you can survive 3 months of unemployment. And, you know, in the last few years, the unemployment rate has been historically at extremely high, at a high rate. And you think about how many people just didn't have any cushion to fall back on. It's sobering.
Well, it couldn't be more timely. The book is In Cheap We Trust, the story of a misunderstood American virtue by author Lauren Weber. And you can find out more about the book and pick it up at Lauren's website, laurenweber.com. And, gosh, we're running out of time. I appreciate you being on the show today. And go out and save a few nickels for me, would you?
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. I'm Burke Allen in Washington. Thanks for listening to WAMS on the Blog Talk Radio Network.